We're in 1 Samuel chapter 7 this morning. We're dealing with a great subject of raising an Ebenezer unto the Lord. How wonderful it would be if at this time of the year in your own life, 5 years from now, you can look back and say, thank God I raised an Ebenezer that day. Now let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we bow to thank you for all the privileges that are ours in Christ. And this morning, as now as we open thy word, we would say to thee like Samuel of old, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, and in speaking to my heart, speak to all who are gathered, and we'll thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Augustus Toplady, who wrote a number of hymns, one of them, Rock of Ages, also wrote the hymn that's in just about every hymn book. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. And one of the stanzas in that hymn, in one of the older books, it isn't in either song book that we use here, but it says, here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I know by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Now, it is good, beloved, to read, as we did this morning, from 1 Samuel chapter 7, and to mark the Ebenezers in the lives of the great saints of old. Samuel took a stone, he set it up, and he inscribed on it, Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord has helped us. And you and I should be able to raise our Ebenezers as we look at the lives of men like David. David could raise an Ebenezer after he slew the bear. He could raise an Ebenezer after he slew the lion. He could raise one after he slew the giant there in the valley of Elah. When we look at the life of Joseph, my, what an Ebenezer he could raise. When he was released from prison and he was made the chief ruler of the land of Egypt, here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I must confess, I enjoy the humor of Scripture. Can you imagine Potiphar coming home to his wife, who lied about Joseph, and who had Joseph because Potiphar was the ruler and the keeper of the king's prisoners, he had him put in prison. And Potiphar coming home to his wife, and he says to her, do you know what happened today? The slave that we had is now my boss. I wonder how Potiphar's wife felt, for she had him put in prison. I tell you, friends, you and I who know the Lord should be able to sing from the heart, here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. Have you ever raised any? Have you ever raised any Ebenezers to the glory of God in your life? Have you ever passed through any rivers that you never thought you'd get through? And there, in the midst of it, you were supported by the divine presence of the Lord? Have you walked through the fires unharmed? For Isaiah, when he wrote, he said those words, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Beloved, the God who spoke to Abraham at Mamre, has he ever spoken to you? The God who wrestled with Jacob at Peniel, has he ever wrestled with you? Never forget, beloved, the marvelous manifestations of God in your life. Think of that day when you were converted. I hope you can look back to a time when as a sinner you met the Lord, and in genuine conversion you trusted Christ as your own Lord and Savior. My, what a monument to His grace it is. My, that's the first Ebenezer that we ever plant in our lives. The Ebenezer when we come to Christ and we know Him as our Lord and Savior. Beloved, this morning as we contemplate, as we did in every one of the hymns, the birth of our blessed Savior, we need to contemplate and think of him in connection with ourselves, in his manifestations of grace to us. And as we think with Samuel, as we pile stones one on another, as we raise our Ebenezers of thanksgivings unto our God, we can say from the heart, Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord has helped us. Were it not for him, we wouldn't be here this morning. Many of us would probably be in a lost eternity were it not for the grace of our God. Now this is what Abraham did when he raised an Ebenezer. He named a place. This is what he did when, as we read in Genesis 22, when he laid Isaac on the altar and he received him again from the dead in a figure, and he had the ram to offer in the stead of Isaac. He named the place Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. This is what Jacob did that first night he was away from home. Genesis chapter 28. And he stopped at a place called Luz. And there when he laid down to sleep, he had a stone for a pillow. It became the place of the vision, for he saw a vision, a ladder set up to heaven, and above the ladder, the Lord. But it became not only the place of the vision, it became the place of the voice, for God spoke with him there. But it not only was a place of the vision and the place of the voice, it became the place of the vow, for there, in the morning, he took oil, the most precious thing he had. And he poured it out upon that stone that had been his pillow. And he named the place Bethel. He raised an Ebenezer, friend. This is Bethel. This is none other than the house of God. He said, this is the gate of heaven. Now another year has almost passed. And most of us, as we look back over the past year, have to say, hitherto, the Lord has helped us. Ebenezer. Now we want to look at three things about this Ebenezer in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we want to notice three things about it, because the three things that make up the context and the text here is the why Samuel raised this stone and wrote upon it Ebenezer and said those memorable words, hitherto the Lord has helped us. We want to notice three things. First of all, we want to notice the place where that stone was erected, for that's most important. And then we want to notice the occasion why the stone was erected. Why was it erected, really? And then finally, we want to notice the inscription on the stone. Hitherto. And for that, the word Ebenezer. Hitherto. Hath the Lord helped us. Well, first of all, the place where the stone was erected. It was a place where 20 years before, the nation of Israel suffered defeat. Brethren, we need to remember our defeat. We need to remember them. We must never forget how we have been like Israel. We have gone out in the energy of the flesh. We have gone out in our own strength, in our own corruption, and we found that we were as weak as water spilled upon the ground that couldn't be gathered up again. You remember what Israel did 20 years before? They took the Ark of God into the camp to fight against the Philistines, and they said, maybe the Ark will save us from our enemies. And we too have done that same thing, haven't we? There are multitudes of people this morning who are resting upon ordinances and ceremonies, and they're not resting on that which the ordinances and ceremonies speak of, even our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be baptized, friends, but baptism doesn't save anybody. unless a person is resting in Christ. The baptism doesn't mean anything. It's a glorious privilege to sit at the Lord's Supper and partake of the loaf and the cup. But my friends, unless we know the one whose body was broken on the cross on Calvary's Hill, and whose blood is our very righteousness, it doesn't mean anything. And we too can go with the ark, and thinking the ark will save us, and we miss the one of whom the ark speaks, even our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember our defeats, friends. There are multitudes of people who this year enter into singing the glorious Christmas carols who know not the one who was laid in a manger and born in a stable, our blessed Lord from heaven. You see, Ebenezer, this day that we read of in 1 Samuel 7, was a hill of joy. But as I go to the hill of joy with the Lord, I need to remember my past failures. As they looked around that day, at Mizpah, there were a lot of graves. They were standing on the grave where many had fallen in battle. There were we need to stand, friends, on the graves of our proud notions that we have in relation to spiritual things. We need to stand on the grave of our self-confidence when we think that we can accomplish things and we don't accomplish them. We need to stand upon the grave of our creature strength and our boasting. It's only as we stand on the grave that the praises of our God are stirred within us, when we realize the hole of the pit from whence we've been digged and the rock from whence we've been hewn. It's only as we stand upon the grave of our defeat that you and I are able to say, Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord hath helped us. Now, this place, the place of Ebenezer, should refresh our memories of our sins. How often has our unbelief prevailed over divine grace and over faith? How often has pride in our own lives lifted up its ugly and accursed head? Pride. How often has our patience been like a sickly plant that with a little bit of cold air, it withers? How often? Oh, beloved, day by day you and I should be surprised at the sun of divine grace that it should continue to shine upon us and the abundance of heaven's mercies should be continually poured out upon us. But you see, this place, the place where this stone was erected, it should remind them of their sorrows. Remember when the Ark of God was taken and Eli, Israel's high priest, heard of it. He fell over backwards and he died. He broke his neck. He was sitting on a chair and when he heard the message, he died. But he had a daughter-in-law who was expecting a baby, and when she heard that the Ark of God was taken, the birth pangs came upon her and in travail. She named the child Ichabod. The glory of the Lord hath departed because of the ark. The ark was taken. But you see, at that very time, their harvests were snatched by the robbers. So you see, it should remind them of their sorrows. But what does Ebenezer mean now to these people? Well, first of all, it is a place of lamentation before the Lord. These people now came together to pray. They were asking God that he would come among them again in divine power. And beloved, this is where we need to be today. Oh, that God would come forth in revival blessing upon his church. That the hearts of God's people will be warmed and that sinners who are lost, who are going to spend a lost eternity in hell if they're not told of the love of God in Christ. And the church is the only people who have the message to deliver them from a lost eternity. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. The people had come together. They had come together to lament before the Lord, to pray. And beloved, revival comes from the outpouring of gracious thanksgiving to God. That is a cause of revival. But more than that, what did Ebenezer mean to these people? Ebenezer meant to these people, they had come together for a renewal of the covenant that they had entered into with God. Now the name Mizpah means watchtower. It implies a watchtower. In other words, they came together to wait upon the Lord and to renew their relationship to Him. That's a good reason to remember the birth of the Lord, isn't it? It's far better than getting a gift. It's far better than giving a gift. To come together to renew your relationship to the Lord and to recognize who He is and what He has done. And that's why they came together. They came together to renew the covenant. And now, after the renewal, after the visitation of God, after the victory over the Philistines, they raise an Ebenezer. And they can say, hitherto, the Lord has helped us. But that brings us to the second thing we want to notice about raising an Ebenezer, as they did here. In 1 Samuel 7. And that is the occasion why the stone was erected. The occasion of it. You see, the tribes of Israel had assembled here unarmed. And they had assembled to worship. Now the Philistines heard of their gathering. Whenever you determine to do something spiritual for God, when you're determined that you're going to be on going on for God, you can expect the enemy to come in and to try to hinder your progress spiritually. I have never won a victory sliding downhill on a sled. Everyone has been an uphill battle. And I think we need a fresh look. If not by the reading this morning, but in our own minds. In Ephesians 6, so Paul, when he comes to the end of that great epistle, he tells the believers of the armor that God has provided for us in order that we might live the Christian life. He says that we're to put on the armor. We're to have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle. Have our loins girded with a girdle of peace, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're to have the sword of the Spirit in our hands. And there in Ephesians 6, we have a picture of the soldier. That's interesting, isn't it? But the next verse says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now friends, when you think of a soldier with all his armor, what does that tell you about? That tells you something different than wrestling. In wrestling, you don't have the armor on. When you think of a soldier, you think of a warfare in connection with others. We're in the Lord's army, and that's what our little children sing back in the Sunday school. We're in the Lord's army. So when you wrestle, it's hand to hand. It's one on one. That's an individual thing. And beloved, you're not going to be able to wrestle unless you're in fellowship with the other parts of the body as a soldier. And we need the corporate testimony of the Lord's people to prepare us for individual battle in the conflict. Here the people had come together unarmed to worship. The Philistines heard of it, and they thought that they had come together to revolt against them. And hearing that the people came together, the Philistines determined to attack them. And when they gathered together, the children of Israel didn't know what to do. What can we do? And here we have the prophet of God, Samuel, coming to the occasion. And what does he do? He takes a sucking lamb, and he slays it, and he lays it on the altar. And that speaks to God of the person of Christ. For the burnt offering was wholly burned. And as the smoke ascended to heaven, God saw the perfections and the person of his dear son. And God answered their prayer. And the voice of men was heard and answered by the voice of God. And it thundered, and the Philistines were routed. Now, how did the victory come? The victory was obtained by the Lamb. It was the Lamb upon the altar, beloved, that brought the victory. For as soon as the Lamb was slain, the smoke ascended to heaven, and the blessings of God fell upon his people, and his curses fell upon his enemies. Oh, this morning, as we would raise an Ebenezer unto God, the victory comes from a slain Lamb, beloved. The Lamb of God, whom John the Baptist identified by saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." We raise our Ebenezers this morning, and it is to the Lamb slain, who is now exalted, and to him be glory forevermore. But in this Ebenezer, friends, the power of prayer was acknowledged. Oh, yes. You see, the Philistines were not routed except by prayer. Except by prayer. The people said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord for us." Don't stop crying to God for us. Beloved, we will never be able to raise any Ebenezers unto the Lord apart from genuine prayer. It will never happen. If God speaks by me as a preacher, God must have all the glory. If God saves sinners by such a frail instrument as me, God must have all the glory, not the preacher. All the honor, friends, must be laid at his feet. It was a lamb slain, beloved. The lamb slain that brought the victory. Now there was prayer and sacrifice on behalf of the people, but it was Jehovah who came forth in mighty power. And beloved, if we're going to be able to raise an Ebenezer in respect to revival in our day, it's going to call for sacrifice. Sacrifice in time. We're going to have to take time to pray publicly. And we're going to have to take time to pray privately. And oh, we're so busy. At this time of the year when we commemorate the birth of our blessed Lord, the only one who can bring blessing to mankind and who can bring the reality of peace on earth, goodwill to mankind, we're so busy. We hardly have time to pray. We hardly have time to really remember who the Lamb of God is that gives us joy to the world, that gives us all the blessings that we enjoy today. But that brings us to the inscription. The inscription that Samuel put on that stone of victory. The inscription. You see, if you look at that expression, Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord has helped us. Only 7 words in the whole little expression. But the middle word is Lord. Hitherto has the Lord helped us. Now the central word is important. It's the Lord. For all depends upon the fullness that it gathers. It is the Lord who has helped us. Now while the Lord helped them, friends, remember this, they didn't stand idly by and not get involved and not use their weapons against the Philistines. The two go hand in hand. We can't sit back and twiddle our thumbs and say, I'm going to wait for the Lord to do it. Oh no, the Lord thundered. The Philistines were discomforted, but the Israelites personally got involved. And beloved, we're not going to see great results if we ascribe them to men. We must ascribe the results to God. It is the Lord who has to do it. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. It is the Lord who does it. Now, the second thing about that expression or the inscription on the stone, I want you to think with me of the word hitherto. For the Lord looks, that word hitherto causes us to look backward. How many years can you look backward on the Lord's blessing? Can you think of Ebenezers that you have raised in the past 10 years? Ebenezers that you have raised in the past 20 years? Ebenezers that you have raised in the past 30 years for the Lord. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always. No matter what the circumstances, he said he always causes us to triumph in Christ. But beloved, when you look at that inscription, we have the Lord, he's central. We have hitherto, that looks backward. But that word hitherto also looks forward. It looks forward. No matter what the trial is that we face, we can face it. And we can raise our Ebenezer unto the Lord. And beloved, it is God who gets the glory out of the Ebenezer that he's raised. It's a forward look of victory. Jacob took oil, the most precious thing he had, and he poured it on the rock there at Luz, and he named the place Bethel. Grateful heart this morning. Do you have oil to pour on the rock? Do you have an alabaster box like Mary had, full of precious ointment, that you want to pour at his feet? In worship, maybe you're here and you're saying within your heart, oh, I wish I had some oil to pour on the feet of the Lord. I wish I had some oil to pour on the stone like Jacob did, to pour out as individuals, as an Ebenezer unto the Lord. Or if you're here and you're saying within your own heart, oh, I wish I had some oil to pour out. Let me tell you something. I know where to get it. I know where to get it. I can tell you where it's found. And there's only one place you can get it. It's found at the cross of our blessed Lord. It was a sucking lamb that was offered in sacrifice to God that provided the victory. And gave them the ability to raise the Ebenezer. And it's the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross has given the choice coin of the kingdom to his people, even the Holy Spirit of God, to indwell them. I know where he can get the oil. Our Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. One of the greatest passages in the New Testament to me in relation to salvation was spoken to the woman of Samaria when our Lord said to her, if you knew the gift of God. Oh, we talk a lot about gifts today. But that text says, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. Oh, do you wish you had some oil this morning to pour at his feet? I know where you can get it. You can get it by simply coming to our Lord Jesus, by coming to the cross on Calvary's Hill and calling upon him for his mercy. Oh, Lord, reveal yourself to my heart. I want to raise an Ebenezer to your glory. Now, every one of us, no matter what the trial, no matter what the test, no matter what the circumstance, if we're in Christ, we have oil to pour upon the rock, and we can raise an Ebenezer of praise unto our God. How about it? What you need this morning? What is a trial? Let us look to the cross. Whether you're a saint or a sinner. Because here's where the oil flows from. And the answer is real. And we'll be able to say, Ebenezer, hitherto. That the Lord help us. Oh, may God enable us to raise them for his glory and praise. I think we need to sing together this morning in closing. Number 47 in our hymn book. We'll sing the first and the last. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of lauded praise. My friend, if you're here today without Christ, you have no oil to pour on the, and you have nothing to anoint and to raise an Ebenezer. You have to come to Christ and know him. Then you can raise an Ebenezer. And it will be an Ebenezer of praise unto our God. Oh, if you're here without him, won't you come to him while we sing this hymn? Let's pray together. And now we pray thee, our God and Father, that you'll take this passage in Samuel, search our hearts. If there are those in our audience who have never raised an Ebenezer, draw them sweetly to yourself, that they'll be able to do it for thy great name's sake. Amen.